Today, I want to talk about what we Christians mean when we say the Word of God. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, Senior Pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. I have on my mind this week the couple of readings that we'll use in worship for the weekend. One of them, the gospel reading, is a reasonably well-known passage from Luke chapter 4. It's the beginning of Jesus' public ministry in Luke, where after he's been tempted in the wilderness by the devil, we're told he goes to the synagogue and he reads from the scroll of Isaiah, where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The sort of accompanying Old Testament reading for this coming weekend is a similar dynamic going on in terms of someone coming up and reading from the Word of God to the people. So this is from Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, and we're told, they told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. And so it talks about how he's talking in front of a whole group of people with the Word of God. We're told some other people also read from it. And then it says this, all these various people, including Ezra, this is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 7. All these people helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. Okay? And so I was intrigued by that, those couple of lines from Nehemiah, and it struck me that, well, maybe we should talk both here and also maybe in worship this weekend about how do we interpret the Bible? How do we read the Bible? How do we make sense of the Bible? And we may come back to that in another episode, but it struck me that before we talk about interpreting the Bible as the Word of God, another, again, simple but really important point needs to be made, which is the point I want to make today. And that is that before we talk about the Bible as the Word of God, we always need to remember that Jesus is the Word of God. We're reminded of that in the prologue to the Gospel of John, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, right? Or in Luke chapter 4, the gospel for this weekend, unlike Nehemiah, where we're told the people interpreted the reading so that people could understand it, after Jesus reads the passage from Isaiah, what happens with him? He says simply, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And then he said to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," which is another way of saying this is not so much about a reading, it's about a person. It's about me. I have come to fulfill all these promises in Isaiah. So I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts related to this. Again, my simple but important foundational point for us who are Christian. The Word of God, first and foremost, is the person of Jesus. And so I was thinking about this, sort of making the point that, well, if there's some person who is beloved to you, maybe your spouse, maybe a child, maybe a good friend, a book about that person, words about that person might be helpful and meaningful and important, but they don't replace the relationship you have with that person, right? The relationship with the live human being is the important thing. The words about that individual sort of maybe support or augment or help you understand the relationship, but it's the relationship that's the important thing. And then it struck me, well, people are going to say, well, Tim, that's kind of crazy. You know, we don't actually, Jesus isn't really here. And so I want to lift up two quotes from very important theologians, both from the 20th century, that reinforce that simple but important foundational point. The first one is from a gentleman, I don't know if we've talked a lot about him. His name is Karl Barth, B-A-R-T-H. We maybe said a few things about him over the last few years. One of the most influential and important theologians of the 20th century, without question, he wrote, I talk about him every year at confirmation for a different reason, but here's his simple quote about this point I'm making. Again, the words are important. We value the Word of God in the form of the Bible, but the primary Word of God is the person of Jesus. So here's what Barth says. Jesus does not give recipes that show the way to God as other teachers of religion do. He is himself the way. The person of Jesus, the individual, the relationship we have with Jesus is the primary thing. And then I was reminded of another, for me, a dear, important quote from, surprise, C.S. Lewis. This comes towards the end of Mere Christianity. I'm going to read, I think, maybe the better part of a paragraph in entirety, because, again, it reinforces from someone much smarter than me, saying things better than I can say them, it reinforces this point I'm making. And here, I'm going to pick it up at this point. Now, Lewis says, we begin to see what it is that the New Testament is always talking about. It talks about Christians being born again. It talks about them putting on Christ, about Christ being formed in us, about our coming to have the mind of Christ. And then this really important series of sentences. Put right out of your head the idea that these are only fancy ways of saying that Christians are to read what Christ said and try to carry it out. Reminded again of that quote from Barth. Jesus didn't give us a set of rules or prescriptions to follow. He gave us himself. So put right out of your head that these are fancy ways of saying Christians are to read what Christ said and try to carry it out, as a man may read what Plato or Marx said and try to carry it out. They mean something much more than that. They mean that a real person, Christ, here and now, in that very room where you are saying your prayers, is doing things to you. It is not a question of a good man who died 2,000 years ago. It is a living man, still as much a man as you and still as much God as he was when he created the world, really coming and interfering with your very self, killing the old natural self in you and replacing it with the kind of self he has. At first only for moments, then for longer periods, finally, if all goes well, turning you permanently into a different sort of thing, into a new little Christ, a being which, in its own small way, has the same kind of life as God, which shares in his power, joy, knowledge, and eternity. Okay? And he goes on from there, but again, for me, that sort of, I'll say it validates, it confirms the simple foundational point I'm trying to make in this, hopefully not overly long episode, I'll find out after we're done taping, which is that before we worry about interpreting the Bible as the Word of God, we remind ourselves that the relationship with Jesus, who is the Word of God, is primary. We'll pick up a conversation about interpreting the words about God in the Bible another time. But in the meantime, if you have questions about this, would you please include them down below? Or if this strikes you as strange or surprising, I would love to hear from you. If it seems to you totally reasonable and feel like weighing in on that too, great. I'm always happy to spend some time with you. Thank you for spending some time with me. And until next time, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.